All right, cool. What do we got this time?
Let's see here. Let's spin the wheel. Okay, looks like we've got Revolution X. Fuck.
Fuck.
My name's Cole Ross.
This is Gary Butterfield.
And why are you doing this to us?
Yes, that's right. It's Abject Suffering with Gary and Cole, the app-exclusive podcast in which you, the listeners of Watch Out for Fireballs, choose terrible games to subject us to that we dedicate ourselves to for 1.5 hour. And this episode is Revolution X.
Yes. Revolution X, it's for a bunch of systems. It was on the arcade. It was in SNES. That's the version that we played. I think there was a Genesis version as well, made by Midway. Same people who brought us the kind of okay Terminator game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like mappy and stuff. Like Midway knows how to do good work.
Yes, they do.
Not just things, you know, just you know, the remnants that in the future when we are building cities out of discarded Aerosmith tour buses – and mining them for products. We're going to find circuit boards from Revolution X arcade cabinets and use them to create our Skynet overlords.
Exactly. It's, I didn't know this game had Aerosmith in it, Gary. I was sitting down last night, you know, I had a glass of seltzer. I was like, okay, let's play through this for Abject Suffering. How bad could it actually be? You know, how much am I going to have to like play this up to really, you know, to really be full of piss and vinegar for this? And then I heard that fucking tired old played dun 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 dun, dun, dun like faux blues, awful bullshit.
Yeah.
And then I see the worst digitized photograph of Aerosmith. And I go, yeah!
It looks like a bunch of people wearing like homemade printed home Aerosmith Halloween masks. Like they took
with the plastic thumbnails Spock.
Exactly. Like they took thumbnails of Aerosmith, blew them up on their printer, printed them out, and then cut them out and put a rubber band.
And put them on them with the Spock that says Aerosmith.
Yeah, when people want to be Aerosmiths for Halloween. Yeah, I can't believe you didn't know this had Aerosmith in it.
I knew nothing about it. I went into it cold. Like for the first time, I didn't, you know, make like a premeditated act of research before diving into something. And like, I don't know if I was rewarded or just like somebody snuck up from behind and hit me with a sack of pennies.
Yeah, hit you with a sack of skids.
Hit me with a sack of music is the weapon. Remember,
music is the weapon.
It is.
So the premise of this game is that it's the future.
Stop.
And
don't do it justice. Don't call it a premise.
Yeah. The whatever word for premise, but less than. Like the weird thing about this game. So you say don't call it a premise. Like it's not uninspired. Like it is uninspired.
Yeah.
But there's a thing to it. You know, it's just weird. Like somebody came up with this idea, and it really makes you wonder. Like, was it Aerosmith? Was it just like, you know?
I didn't get to the credits. I didn't see designed by Joe Perry.
Yeah. Like, just somebody came up with an idea and they're just like, well, what if there's, you know, there's a kind of this dystopian future run by this like dominatrix. Like it's generic, but it's not, you know, it's not the Journey game, which is like abstracted to the point of, you know, nonsense.
Being okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Abstracted to the point of being a fun Atari game.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like... yeah, and with better music.
Yeah. Like, you don't get it, man. The government and my parents are coming to get us down, and I'm a kid in the 90s who likes Aerosmith for some reason.
You know, well they had that string of hits at that point. Like the new order nation, which is like, which are you? is so they're coming to take away all our music, TV, video games, and then I love magazines. Yeah. Like they're taking in the opening credit scroll, they're going to take all our magazines.
Well, I mean, if they wanted to be hip, they're going to take away our zines, man.
Yeah.
You're going to take away our VHS tapes and compact discs.
Yep. And now it would all just be taking away our microchips and MP3 players and all these gizmos and gadgets. So you had to fight like yellow guys who work for the N, and it's New Order Nation, so it's NON. So every time they use it, it just looks like non. So it's like the non enemies. And like, why am I fighting non enemies?
The non forces.
Yeah. Well, that's
it's so hideous. Like they set out to put in the most digitized stuff into a game, digitized voice, video, characters, mm-hmm. like Mortal Kombat. Everything is just bleh.
Yeah, it looks real bad. And like, it's some of the stuff is semi impressive for Super Nintendo. Like some of the sound samples sound like pretty legible.
Yeah, you know, like they're a couple of steps above the Wayne's World game, you know.
Yeah, which I'm sure we'll fucking get to at some point. But the it's still pretty bad. But like, how far did you get in this, Cole?
Okay, I got the helicopter or whatever it is. No, it's their car. It's their like bitchin' hyper spoiler car that has.
When you get the car, you get a cutscene that just says Aerosmith's cool car. Cool. Tell me what to think.
Yes, exactly. I actually have that written down. I'll cross that off of my notes. I got to the point where you get the mission select, you know?
Okay.
And I went through most of two of them.
Which I did. I went to I saw one. I went to the eco like factory thing where they're doing the they're producing the chemicals and Africa with all the terrible like but they're non-forces dressed up as those things.
Like my estimation was that it was like a Resident Evil 5 scenario where they were using the local tribes to help like keep people away.
Mm.
Were they non-forces?
I thought at the end they called them like non berserkers or something like that.
That's what
at the end of the level. So I thought that they were definitely in the same color scheme, but it's really difficult to tell what anything is in this. Like the graphic fidelity is some of the worst. So like I could recognize things as vaguely human shaped, but knowing where like an arm began and a torso ended is like really difficult.
Yeah. And that's one of those areas where like the crazy generic, like leather jacket, you know, and helmet kind of design of the non-agents helped out a little bit. Because, like, oh, that is a thing. I can see that. As opposed to these horrible racist caricatures that literally throw spears at you.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like we're in that level of Toomba.
Yeah.
It's straight up Toomba racism.
Yeah. Get Rudyard Kipling up in here. It's Aerosmith's burden.
Did you get to the boss of that level, though?
Oh, you mean the floating green skull?
Yeah, the slime skull. Yeah. I love the slime skull.
That's great. It's
yeah, I was pretty into him.
It's like something you would draw. A lot of things in this game are like things you would draw in your composition notebook covers.
Yeah. That's a real good way to put it. Like this is the cover of so many terrible, stupid things I drew. If I liked Aerosmith as a kid, like this game would be that, like born out of a discarded Trapper Keeper Revolution X.
Have we said that this is like a light gun shooter at all? Because that's what it is.
Yeah. It's if you haven't played it, it's a light gun shooter. There was no light guns. Well, there was. There was a Super Scope. Was there any other light gun support for the Super Nintendo?
Yeah. There was a game called Lethal Enforcers.
Oh yeah,
that came out, and it had it like the version for the SNES was okay. It was pretty close to the arcade as far as like these digitized actor, you know, shooting games go. I have fond memories of playing it with my dad when I was but a wee one. But yeah
we all like gun games. Mm-hmm. Like when you go to an arcade, like you have a fun time, like clicking on some shoots. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No.
But they're never fun to control with the D-pad.
Oh, gosh, no.
Yeah. Like, was the Resident Evil spinoff where there was no D-pad?
Gun Survivor?
Support? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yipes.
Which they attempted to make canonical, It's really weird.
In that game, there's a factory on an island where they make tyrants and they make tyrants.
Yeah, yeah. They abduct teenage boys because they have the brain chemicals necessary to become tyrants. What am I saying?
Video games.
Video games.
No, it's true though. Like, where it's like, it's so dumb because in the Resident Evil series, like, when you run into one of those, it's such a big deal and it's so awesome. And mm-hmm. here you're shooting them left and right. Like, any of these games, individual enemies are not a thing because you have to shoot them down in scores. Mm-hmm. You know, even the boss fights are fucking dumb in this game. Like, the that helicopter took me forever to kill because I didn't realize, like, its weak point was, like, I killed all the weak points in but it was the bottom of the helicopter. Like,
yeah.
Everyone knows a helicopter can't fly without its landing gear.
You know? Exactly. Well, what are you going to do? I'm going to shoot off your landing gear. Now you'll never land. And then they just fly forever.
Yeah, good luck in the future.
Yeah.
Did you, I don't know if you saw on my Facebook, but I put a link. I guess there's, like, this kind of cabin depressurization that can happen to planes where the oxygen is sucked out of a plane so slowly that everyone on the plane passes out and dies. And this happened multiple times where planes have just flown for hundreds of miles with entirely corpse crews and passengers.
Holy shit.
It's incredible. Like, hundreds of miles. Like, you know, because they don't, you don't just, like, a plane doesn't just crash when someone stops.
No, it glides.
They don't lean on the, and this has happened multiple times.
Whoa. That sounds like the premise for either a really good short story or a really awful book.
Yeah. It was just, like, the idea that there could be, like, planes in the air just full of dead people, like, entirely crewed by the dead, and that's, like, an actual thing, is really incredible to me.
There's a fantastic web comic that ran for a little while called The Parking Lot is Full. It was these one-panel things, and they hypothesized what would happen if Superman died in orbit. And it was people, like, you looking up in wonder as he is, like, floating around the world as this horrible desiccated husk. Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Ugh.
Anyway,
Aerosmith.
Aerosmith.
So this game came out at a time where it made sense because Aerosmith, like, had their weird comeback in the early 90s. Where it was,
so,
like,
they had
the rich.
Pink is my favorite color. Was that in the mid 90s?
I don't know what song that is.
Pink is my favorite color. Yeah.
Burner.
Yeah.
It was a real, like, Joe Jackson. Or not Joe Jackson. Randy Jackson. Andy Jackson. Country voice you just gave that.
Yeah, sorry. It's the music I sing. But anyway.
And they had those three songs that were indistinguishable. Like, it was, like, Crying, Amazing, and then, like, Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
Don't Want to Miss a Thing. That was later, though. That was, like, 1998, because that was on the Armageddon soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Those were the things they didn't want to miss for all the Armageddons.
Yeah.
I remember.
All of the Armageddons. Fun fact, that song was initially written for Celine Dion.
Is that true?
That is true.
How did you come up on that fun fact?
I think I was watching VH1 sometime around when that came out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was it a video pop-up?
Possibly.
I miss pop-up video.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah,
somebody create a TV show that does that with video games right now, and I'll watch every episode and buy every season. Like, just someone playing a video game for a half hour and has pop-up video style trivia.
You watch too much YouTube, man.
I don't even own a TV.
Exactly.
That's not true. But it doesn't have cable. No.
Yeah. I don't watch television. Yeah, what about when you went through the entire... Yeah. So anyway.
I hate Aerosmith.
I knew we'd get to this at some point.
Yeah, I really hate Aerosmith.
No, it's entirely forgivable. Okay, can you make your argument?
Yeah. I think that I will release at some point around the time this comes out. I record myself playing the games we do for Abject Suffering. So for the YouTube. So the Abject Suffering podcast may not come out to the general public, but if you want a taste of what we're doing and to kind of, you know what you're missing, you get to see me go through this in real time. I was talking to the audience and then also, I don't know, man, that was a little weird.
Yeah, the perspectives were a little weird there, but continue.
Sorry about that.
Continue.
But if you want, I just was going to say, I said this on the video too, if you want to take everything I hate about Aerosmith, it's the Black Crows. Like, if you just subtract the Black Crowes from Aerosmith, like, everything that is about the Black Crowes is contained within Aerosmith. Like, it's a circle, like a large circle, and then a slightly bigger circle above it, or around it.
Right, right.
And most of Aerosmith is just contained with the Black Crowes, which is like American flag headbands tied to microphone stands, tight jeans, like singers that don't play instruments, and like, you know, leaning real close on the microphone, and you know, like, have like a real scratchy kind of voice.
Yeah.
Co-opt the blues when necessary.
which is, know, always.
Like, yeah, well, yeah, always necessary to co-opt the blues. Like, Aerosmith don't have good songs or anything. Like, they just, you know, those, like, the 90s when they came back, like, it was a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that weird, that hard rock genre, you know, that kind of sprung up, where in kind of response to alternative, but also was co-opting some elements of alternative.
Yeah, yeah. It was like grunge came up and overtook like glam hair metal, you know, because this is more real and things like that. And when people realized that grunge was kind of like, oh, there are like these three dudes, and then everything else happened, you know, it's like was just kind of like that. All that was left was a power vacuum for Aerosmith to come back, but then things like, I don't even know, man.
They, Living on the Edge was their song I was trying to think of.
Yeah.
That they had done, which, like, all those songs like that, and then like Crazy and Crying, like, they always seem like they can trace back to like November Rain.
Yeah.
But for some reason, like, Aerosmith has more cred than Guns N' Roses, and they're virtually indistinguishable, at least in their like 80s and 90s incarnations. Like,
yeah. Huh? What year did the Run DMC Walk This Way come out? Let me take a look.
Like, probably
here.
Like, yeah.
It was right around that time, right? Because Run DMC was, No, it was it was 1986. So still right around there. But man, I'm not opposed to like dumb rock, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like my freaking SA forums name, my Xbox Live username, my Steam username, they're all a reference to Queens of the Stone Age, which is dumb rock, you know.
Yeah, but Queens of the Stone Age, it's dumb, but like, they're, you know, it's better. Like, Queens of the Stone Age are almost proggy. Like, they have a lot of like tricky, you know, and I know that's mostly from like Rock Band, like songs that are on Rock Band.
Yeah,
but those are tricky songs. Like, they're rhythmically complicated and stuff like that. They're not like butt rock.
Yeah, that's
or
true.
Like blues rock. Like, those are more totally like Blues Hammer from the Ghost. Have you ever seen Ghost World?
Yeah. Oh God, I have. Exactly. It's
total Blues Hammer.
Yeah, and like that. I've been known to sing a Zeppelin song or two at karaoke, you know. But you have to, like, if you're gonna do that, if you're gonna debase yourself enough to sing karaoke, you're going to have to, like, you know, live in this milieu. But at least, like, Zeppelin had the like tact to stop going when their drummer died, unlike The Who, you know.
Yeah.
And then went on to do other stuff, you know. Robert Plant, he's singing with Alison Krauss now, I guess, and John Paul Jones.
I'm not interested in any of that stuff that he's doing now, but like, Zep is objectively better than Aerosmith.
Oh God, yeah, but still, yeah. like that was blues. That was bluesy stuff. One of Aerosmith's, like, the only Aerosmith song I can tolerate, "Train Kept a Rollin'," was a Bird song. You know,
right? And you probably like the Birds version too. Like,
oh
it's
God,
not,
yeah, much better, yeah. But still.
Did you get to the part in Revolution X where you get to the elevator and
what's
they play
Revolution
the elevator
X?
Music? It's this Aerosmith commercial in video game form, like where they get to the elevator and they play "Love in an Elevator" in the like MIDI elevator music version.
Yeah, I like "Love in an Elevator."
"Love in an Elevator," fine, like for what it is. Like, but I was just thinking, I'd never thought of the premise of that song or the lyrics. Like, what a dumb! I just like living it up while you're going down. Mm-hmm. Love it. Like, what if people had sex in an elevator? Like, is that a thing that happened? Like, in the 80s, was that, like, a thing that required, like, can you, what is the thought process that makes you conceive of writing a song about having sex in an elevator?
Steven Tyler, he might have gotten some mad trim in an elevator one time. We don't know how rock stars live.
That is true. Like,
we can only speculate about the wonders that poet laureate Steven Tyler has seen.
With his disgusting goatsy mouth.
Yeah.
And, like...
I would rather watch an orphanage fire for a half an hour than look at him open his mouth once.
Yeah, imagine, close your eyes, Cole.
So
Steven Tyler spends his morning making a series of tuna fish sandwiches. Oh, God. He's got a big old punch bowl full of tuna. He's put in some pickle, you know, some relish, so a hefty amount of mayonnaise, a little mustard, and he's just stirring that with like a wooden spoon. And then slowly makes a bunch of sandwiches, just taking this and just slapping it on there. And then sits down and proceeds to eat a stack of tuna fish sandwiches. And the camera closes up on his mouth as it is this winding gyre of lips and failure and pain just engulfing enveloping.
And like in my mind, this isn't like a Snap Wayne's World zoom. This is like he's eating these sandwiches for like 45 minutes.
It's like an Andy Warhol zoom.
It is. And at the start, it's a wide establishing shot, him sitting down. So you know, time code 00, you know, frame zero all the way up to, you know, frame zero, 45 minutes. Like, mm-hmm. It starts at wide, and at the end, you're looking at his uvula, just coated in mayonnaise and relish.
And little bits of, like, tuna.
Yeah.
Tiny bits of tuna.
And then it zooms all the way back out beyond the set, beyond the frame of my television, to see me with a bullet in my head.
It backs out, and Joe Perry is sitting on the back of the couch, not wearing any clothes, with his penis blocked by Steven Tyler's head, leaning forward like a caveman and noisily, wetly eating an apple, which is dripping down into Steven Tyler's mouth.
God.
And then we're both there shooting ourselves.
God.
We shoot each other, so it's not a sin. Exactly.
Oh, man. And they have, like, video. They have, like, mist. Okay, so Atris in this game is Steven Tyler saying, "Hey!" That's Harry Carey. I'm sorry. Like, he's leading the revolution? Like, Steven Tyler, I'm supposed to believe that he's my Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
He's in on it? He knows?
Well, every time they play music, it blows up all the non-agents around them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really confused about their place in, you know, editorially in this game. Not editorially, like, story-wise in this game. And in my life, apparently. So...
Yeah. I don't even know. And like your weapon. Okay. So a little bit. So like I said, I did no research. I didn't know that this was an Aerosmith game. I didn't know how to control it either. So I'm moving the cursor around when I first start. Okay. That's fine. I press buttons. Nothing happens. And then I pull the R trigger or press the R button. Like, and it shoots a CD. Okay, cool. I'm shooting CDs, which explode because apparently I'm Gambit in this game.
Yeah.
Revolution X starring Gambit.
Why not?
Hey, it was around his era. And so like it's limited. I'm like, what kind of bullshit is this? A shooting game where I only have like 25 shots? That's weird, right? And it wasn't until like later after I was like, okay, I'll just sit down and let the continue run out. And then like I was like, oh, I have a machine gun. And then I was okay.
The CDs are only kind of limited, though, because, like, the gold ones are limited, but the silver ones, I ended up with hundreds of them. Like, by the level I was at, I ended up with something like I was shooting the building like crazy during that interminable, you know, helicopter
thing.
I ended up with something like 700 CDs, but I just didn't feel like tapping, like, the button. Like, my fingers were getting tired from, like, just tapping the CD shoot button. Like, they're not that much more powerful.
No, they're not. And when you get like later when you're trying to shoot that bus down, that is taking people to the to the non-labor camps. Let me look here what it's actually called.
It's just like a white collar, like, I work at a non-labor camp.
Yeah. Exactly. You tell other people to do shit. The teen programming center. Yes.
I didn't go to that level. I went to another one that had, like, I wish that you had gone to this one. So we both went to the one with the Oogie Boogie, you know, witch doctor, racist caricatures. But I went to the other one, and it has branching, like, there are dead ends. It's like a maze. Ugh. Where, like, you get to, you know, you go through these doors. If you shoot the door, you go through the door, and then you have a choice of going right or left. And there are dead ends. Like, you have to explore this maze. in a first-person shooting game that is also Revolution X.
Exactly.
Like, what?
Like the branching path thing, that's kind of cool in House of the Dead.
Yeah, I mean, it's even probably fine in this one, even though it doesn't make any difference. Like, in that first level, you have a branching path, and it's just what level, which way you start sweeping this room from.
Right.
Like, if you take a right, you just go in through the right, and you sweep from right to left. If you go in through the left, you sweep from left to right.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It also has that Duke Nukem thing where there are, like, cage girls nakedly dancing.
And you
like,
can...
the gender politics of this game are not comfortable.
No, they're not. And you have to free them by shooting at them.
Shooting at the cage, but if you keep shooting them, then I think you die.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
The strippers.
Huh.
Yeah, you can't totally Duke Nukem.
Yeah, but if you free them, if you, you know, if they live, really, you get an award at the end.
Which,
yeah. And one of the awards that you can get, apparently their version of the Grammy Award is the Mammy Award.
Yes.
Which, dog, I don't know if you know what a mammy is, but like...
Yeah, it's clearly supposed to be mammary, like short for mammary. It was either that or like an L. Jolson, you know.
That's what I was thinking of. But
yeah, but it's supposed to be boobs.
And I get a Grammy Award for best murder.
Yeah. Why are you getting any award? Who's issuing these awards?
Like okay, so war heroes. Like somebody who wins the Medal of Honor, like they get that because they killed like three dudes in their entire career, right?
Right.
You kill a never-ending stream of them. Well,
you should have at least gotten like the Medal of Boner or something like that, like a thing you get for war, as opposed to a thing you get for like performance. There's no performance involved in this.
There isn't, like, to the point where, like, a level will just end, a screen will end, all the people will die at once when it decides that you're done.
Yeah, it's like a screensaver, like, in this way, like, it almost would have been better as a screensaver. And, like, just talking, like, just a, you know, a little bit about the music, like, when they do play recognizable Aerosmith, like, samples, they're never longer than, like, one riff.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're doing that, but it just does that over and over and over for like the entire time you're in that stage. Like it never resolves, never goes to the chorus or anything. You know, no other melody comes in. It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Ugh. can I read you an excerpt from the prose?
Yes, please.
Says Joe Perry, "These guys are maggots. They're putting chemicals in all our food."
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I you know, it's not like they don't have good points, Aerosmith.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody says they're wrong.
Yeah, what is Aerosmith doing now?
I think that they're touring, and I think that Steven Tyler left them for a little bit because of his alcoholism. Then he got clean, then he went on to American Idol. Holy fuck, what in the... I thought I was embarrassed about my Resident Evil knowledge, but can we go back to that?
Why did you say that? This is way worse, dude.
I don't know.
But real quick, I got distracted. Like, so I'm looking at the Aerosmith discography, right?
Okay.
So we got regular, like in the 80s and everything, you know, they have album titles that seem appropriate for me, you know, for them, right? So you got like Night in the Ruts and like Rock in a Hard Place. Okay. Sure, you know.
Yeah.
And then Pump. And then you know, Get a Grip was their comeback, like, you know, on your dick. But then their last two albums, like March 30th, 2004, Honkin' on Bobo.
What?
And then their most recent album, November 6th, 2012, still in stores, Music from Another Dimension !
They put the bang at the end of it.
Yeah, what are you doing? Look, old man, like, this does not make you cool.
That doesn't.
From another dimension.
That's like Rush couldn't get away with that.
No, and Rush actually is supposed to be still doing like good albums. Like, I haven't heard them, but they're actually getting good albums. Whereas this, this is a 54 on Metacritic. So I've seen worse.
Okay.
But yeah, this is, like, it's got some pretty bad, album or song titles as well.
It peaked. Okay, so this peaked at number 5 on the Billboard.
Ah, like, that's amazing. They've got a song on there called "Lover a Lot," like Lance a Lot. Like, I don't. This is ridiculous. These are ridiculous humans.
Oh, should I note that your mission in going to these three areas is to get Aerosmith's wings?
I didn't get any wings.
You didn't?
Did you? No. What are the wings?
The wings.
I kept saying no wings at the end.
It's the wings. I'm not sure, but you're supposed to get them.
Like, did you get any wings?
No.
Don't talk to me like you got wings if you didn't get wings, dude.
Come on. I said objectives. I didn't say, oh, man, I got mad wings.
Okay. Honking on Bobo.
Who's Bobo?
Rocking the joint and Devil's Got a New Disguise. So it's a blues album, Honking on Bobo. Returns to the band's roots.
Don't pretend like this, you're the worst.
Guitar Hero. Aerosmith was always like the one Guitar Hero I had no interest in, and like I would, you know, I got a lot of those Guitar Hero spinoffs because there would be a couple songs I wanted to play, and they would get cheap. But yeah, never Guitar Hero Aerosmith.
Wow, I don't even know. I played it like because I was hungry for more music games at that point, but
yeah, it was, well, I almost thought it would be.
It was rough, and it like you know I didn't pay for it, which was nice, but. Man, I don't even know. Like for our first episode, this took a lot out of me.
the four entries for Steven Tyler's personal life on Wikipedia: Julia Holcomb, family and relationships, throat surgery, hepatitis C. Listen, there's only four things you need to know about Steven Tyler: Julia Holcomb, family and relationships, throat surgery. Hep C.
Well, you had Hep C of the throat.
Yeah.
Which is where all that sound comes from.
It's where you put all that tuna. So.
Okay.
I just got a pocket here. I'm a little hungry.
We're done. That's it. Man.
Disgusting. Anything else you want to say about this fucking stupid game?
No.
And
not.
Fuck you for suggesting it, whoever did. I don't have your name here.
Why did you do that to us? Yeah.
Ugh. Ugh.
We really should say who suggested it, though.
Yes.
Let me see if I can pull it up.
Okay. We'll pull it up. Don't cut this out, though. We're not editing this shit. It's live. We'll do it live.
We're doing it live, yes.
And this is Brett Murphy. Brett Murphy, go fuck yourself.
Yep.
Thank you for listening.
We really appreciate it, but go to hell.
We really appreciate it. Then that's Revolution X.
That's Abject Suffering.
Yep. Good night and good luck.
Good night.